The title of this morning's message is Rising. And of course, once again, the thoughts behind these messages is just us positioning ourselves in a place to receive an incredible outpouring of God's Spirit upon us. Every time we come together is a day of salvation. But can I tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, today's a day of salvation. There's a reason why you're in God's house. There's a reason why you've heard the songs being sung to him. There's a reason why you're going to hear the word of God. The opportunity is going to be given for you to accept him, because Jesus Christ wants to be the Lord and be the Savior of your life. He cares about every person here. Every person here is incredibly valuable, and he wants to minister to you. So today is that day. Today's a day to be baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today's a day to be restored. Today's a day to receive clarity. Today is a day just to allow God to really pour into you that which he has for your life. I believe for all of us, I can feel it in my spirit. I sense it in my spirit. I see it. You see it. We've prayed about it. We've talked about it. But there is an awakening that's happening inside of our lives. And all throughout the church, there are pockets of individuals who are really allowing God to wake them up and do this spiritual revival inside of them. And I pray that happens in all of us. And I pray that happens in this body of believers. And it won't be something that is short-lived, but it'll define who we are, a church that is alive and awake and ready for all that God has for us. How many want that? Amen. I mean, I am thankful for all the memories. I'm thankful for the 25 years. I'm thankful for every good thing that God has poured upon us. But how many know there is so much more for our lives here at Coweta Assembly as we continue to seek Jesus Christ? Amen. That is our heart. That is our desire. We believe that today's a day just to allow that continue to happen. So specifically, this message this morning is about being immersed in God's life-giving, empowering, and fulfilling presence of the Holy Spirit that flows from him and into our lives. I want to take just a moment before I get into Ezekiel. I want you to see kind of the connection between a New Testament passage and also Ezekiel. And that's found in John chapter 7. And it's where Jesus Christ will stand and make a powerful statement at the end of a certain festival. And what it is one of the major feasts that the Jewish people celebrated. And this was one of the last, it was the last one of the season. It takes place in October, and it was called the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, one of the major feasts that they put a lot of emphasis on. There were thousands and thousands of those that would travel into Jerusalem and into the city. They would make that ascent up into the hill. You know, when we read of the Psalms, we did that series on a Wednesday night. They'd sing their Psalms of praise as Jerusalem would come into their vision. You know, they'd get more excited. There was a lot of expectation because they would come into these festivals to remember God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy and God's provision upon their lives. And this was one of the particular ones that was an incredible festival for them to participate in. It is also known as the Festival of Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S. I don't feel like I'm saying that really good over the microphone, but booths, and basically a tents, a festival of tents. Now, where we get that at is from Leviticus chapter number 23. When the Lord is giving them the festivals and the feasts that they are to celebrate, he gives them instructions on how they are to do so. And this particular one, they were all to construct booths that they would live in for 7 days during the festival, whether they were coming in as pilgrims into Jerusalem or whether they already lived there. They were to construct these booths, and many times they would use palm branches on top of those roofs, and they were to stay in them as they celebrated this feast. For those that came into the city, they would just find a place to camp within the city, and they would build them their tent, their booth, and they'd put the palm branches on top of it, and that's where they would stay. For the people who already lived in Jerusalem, most of those having flat roofs, because we know that's the style of homes that they had then, they would take and they would build a booth on top of that flat roof, and they would stay within that booth during the week and not within their homes, because that's what the Lord had instructed them to do. I found it very interesting when I was looking at three different commentaries on this subject that every single one of them made the statement that this was perceived as the most fun. This was one of their favorite feasts, and basically I thought, I wonder why that is, because it's just a big giant camp out. I mean, everybody likes to go camping, right? Well, most people, maybe not everybody. So they're just camping in their booths and they're just having a really good time during this week. Now, a significant part of this celebration was of remembering the time that God gave an abundance of provision through the Exodus and when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And a big part of that was to celebrate the abundance of water that had been given to them. Remember when Moses struck the rock? And so that provided water for them, and it quenched their thirst. So it's interesting in this feast that each day of the feast, the priest, they would leave the Temple Mount. They'd walk about 7 minutes, and they'd go right outside the city gate to the Pool of Siloam. There they would draw some water from that. Then they would walk back to the temple. They would go to where the altar was, and there was a basin right there, and they would pour that water back into that basin. And there the people would rejoice, and they would celebrate as they remembered God's provision, but also the provision that God would provide for them as they continued on, because this was also celebrating the abundance of harvest that would come in and how the land would be fertile and there would be enough water. And so a great celebration. Also in reading this, we see Temple Mount. It's about the size of 15 football fields. It's filled with thousands of people. They're waving palm branches. They're waving fruit, maybe like a citrus fruit in celebration of this. So there's a lot of excitement. There's just a lot of, it's just jubilant atmosphere, you know, as they rejoice in the Lord for what he's done. So I'm telling you all that because I think it's important. When we get to the statement that we're about to read of, there's very much reason why Jesus said this, when he said this, and how he said this. Because in John chapter 7, verse 37, it tells us that we're towards the end of this feast. And so look at what the Bible says. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now when you really think about the setting and how this all unfolds, you have to say to yourself, this is quite the moment, because the people are celebrating and they're having a good time. But what I see in my mind as I read this and as the Holy Spirit places this passage in my heart, Jesus is standing up and he cries this statement out and he's really calling them out. He's calling them to truth. Because when you read in the Gospels right here, you will find that many of the people had yet to believe in Jesus. Many of them continued to reject Jesus. Yes, there was a following and his popularity was growing, but they had not received him as Jesus the Messiah, as the Son of God, and as Lord and Savior. So it very much is an invitation. He's not angry, I don't believe. He's not frustrated, but I believe he stands up and he kind of calls them out the thing. And he's saying to them, hey, let me tell you, there is something more. There's something more that you can have in your relationship with God. And it's more than just a religious routine or religious experience. It is a relationship that you can have, and I am the way to that relationship. And that's what he is speaking into their lives. And so he stands and he says that. He's offering them something completely different than what they've had. He's offering them something that is lasting. He's offering them something that is life-changing, that is empowering, that they're going to find true fulfillment in. And again, he is saying to them, hey, this is more than just a routine. This is more than just a yearly celebration. This is something you can have every day of your life, a relationship with me where the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit will flow in and through your life. I love that because he's saying, guys, you know, you're having a good time. You're enjoying this. I mean, the atmosphere is just absolutely amazing. But tomorrow it's all going to be over. And you're all going to make your way back home. And this is all going to be done. And not a whole lot's going to change. And the next year you're going to come back and do it again. And Jesus, he is speaking into their lives. And he's saying, hey, come to me. Come to me and I'll provide. I'll provide, and there'll be a river of water flowing in and through your life that will be lasting. Now, in this statement, notice what he says. It's for those who are thirsty. So anyone who thirsts, anyone who has this need inside of them for something different, for something more, for this lasting water. Now, obviously, not everybody's going to understand at the very beginning here what he is saying to him, but we understand it now today as we come together and look at the Holy Scripture. We know his invitation is to every single person who is thirsty, who is really parched within their lives, who's deep inside. They're saying, hey, there's got to be something that has changed in me. I look at this and I say it's for the individual today that needs to be revived, that needs to have that personal revival, that needs to have this awakening inside of him. They need to have the power of the Holy Spirit just flowing in and through their lives. Can I tell you, that invitation is for all of us, amen? When I thought about this, no matter what you bring to God's house today, because every single Sunday, there is so much that is brought into this house. There's times of joy, seasons of joys. There's heartache, there's heaviness, there's hurts. There's healing that needs to take place in physical bodies, in minds and emotions. There's relationships. I don't know who you are, but some of you are struggling at home. The atmosphere is toxic. The things that are happening with your kids and your grandkids, mom and dad, you're yelling at each other. There's just a lot of things happening. You don't like work. It seems like everything's going wrong there. You're looking for something different. I mean, there is a variety of things that come into this house every single Sunday. And no matter how big that platter gets, and no matter how intense or how heavy that platter gets, the Lord can take all of that. He say, hey, if you're really thirsty and for an answer for all of this and you want to feel an empowering presence in your life that's going to help you through all of this, hey, why don't you go ahead and come on to me because I want to do a work inside of your life. And so I know that if we will just humble ourselves and we'll just continue to pray, if we'll continue to seek him, turn all of our attention upon him, I know he'll do a work in our life like never before. Now, in the season that we're in, our church, we've really been talking about that revival, personal revival, the revival as a church, as a whole. And remember, as we come together seeking this outpouring, seeking what God wants to do, we're not seeking revival, but what we're going to do, as this scripture is, we're going to come to Jesus. Because I read something this week that really just resonated with my spirit. Revival is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to revival. Think about that. Because when we get caught up in looking for all the evidences, we miss the moment. We miss Jesus. And when we just seek Jesus, when we worship Jesus, when Pastor Austin and the team lead us in worship, when we're singing to Jesus and about Jesus, and all of our worship is on Jesus, that's when something's going to move within our spirit. When we get in the Word of God, it's not about Pastor Steve or whoever's up here behind the pulpit. It's about Jesus Christ and what Jesus wants to speak into us. When we pray, we're not praying for anything specifically other than we're praying for Jesus to minister to our lives. He knows what's best for us, amen? So when we're praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we know there are multiple gifts. We know there's a gift of speaking in tongues, a gift of faith, a gift of healing, the gift of miracles, a gift of discernment. We know there's multiple things the Holy Spirit can pour into our life. We're not going to seek just necessarily those gifts. What are we going to seek? We're going to seek Jesus. And as Jesus wills, he will pour into our lives in a powerful, powerful way. So revival is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to a personal revival inside of our lives and as a whole. I know the more we seek him, the more we're going to discover what he has for us. The more we seek him, the more we understand how he wants to move and flow through our lives. And the more we seek him, the more empowering that we're going to receive as we discover how to move and flow with the spiritual movement and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So yeah, I'll look at that statement again. If anyone thirst, today at Quita Assembly, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and let him drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And my prayer is that in this season at Quita Assembly, out of your hearts will flow rivers of living water, which is the empowering of that Holy Spirit. Now, let me take you to a vision that we receive here from Ezekiel and see how this kind of ties in. Some of you know where I'm going. Some of you have been here multiple times. Others, this is your very first time to read such a passage. Let's go there together. Ezekiel chapter number 47, verse number 1. Just going to read 12 verses here. So Ezekiel has this vision of the temple, and it says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side." So it's coming from the temple itself. "Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits. And then he led me through the water." It was about ankle deep. "Again, he measured me 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water. This time, it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and then it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?'" Scripture goes on to say, "Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. He said to me, 'This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Verse 10. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. So the geographical area that we're talking about where the waters are going to become fresh is the Dead Sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks of both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit will fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every single month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for healing. Now I have to sit back and I have to say, wow, what a powerful image of the river that flows from the very presence of God. A river of life flowing from God, a river signifying the gospel of saving grace and the empowering gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there are a little bit different views on how individuals will perceive these passages, but when I see this and how God has laid it upon my heart, it is a representation of the power and the presence and the goodness and the blessings and the abundance that is poured out from God himself upon our lives. When we look at the river's significance here, there's three things I'll share with you quickly here. And the first one is this, is it brings restoration and life. When you go back and you look at verses 7, 8, and 9, you will see that it brings so much restoration and so much new life to everything that it touches. You see dense salt water that has no life. The Dead Sea, it will become fresh water. The fresh water will give way to new life. And what was once considered dead and useless will become alive and thriving. I would pray that over our church, whatever is dead and whatever is useless in our lives, whatever soul that feels dead right now and ineffective, in the name of Jesus, may the river of God be poured out in you, through you, and may your life be forever changed. Amen. Become what God wants to do in your life. Wherever the river flows, new life will be given. God, let that river flow in me. Let it flow through me. God, let that river flow in my home and let it flow through my home, in my words, in my deeds, in our worship, in our church, in our service, into our communities, into our schools. Let that river flow down into our student ministry and into our children and let there be new life in people. Amen. The second thing build together here. You keep reading again in verse 9 through 10. You just see provision and increase. As the water gives essential nutrients for life, life increases again wherever it flows. Every creature, the scripture said, all life that receives from the flow of the river, it's going to live. Then we saw the fish, they're going to increasingly multiply. And then there's going to be fishermen there, and they're going to be able to fill their nets. So there is provision for the needs, and we're talking physically, but also spiritually. There is provision for the needs, and there is a continual increase. If you want to peel this back a little bit further and look at it in a different way, you can also see as the fish increase, the fishermen are able to minister, and they're able to cast their nets, and they're able to grab in just a great increase every time they cast out. Because why? That river represents a gospel of grace, the salvation of Jesus Christ. And with all those people in there swimming down in there, as that message is cast out in there, the nets are filled as people are believing in Jesus Christ. You see the awesome picture that's being painted here as a prophet gives us the vision that the Lord had placed upon his heart. The third thing is abundance and healing, verse number 12. Daily provisions for life, it's going to be in abundance. As the water flows, the scripture tells us, I love this, the provisions, they're not going to fail. There is more than enough for what God wants to do in all of our lives. There will be enough for everyone here in our church, and of course throughout all humanity. God is more than enough. Thirst and hunger is going to be satisfied. Lives are going to be ministered to and healed. And when we say healing, first and foremost, we're talking spiritually. Yes, certainly the power of God can heal you physically, but also emotionally, mentally, God can heal each and every life. So I'll look at this and I say, wow. The river that flows, the river we're talking about that Jesus spoke of, and the river that Ezekiel 47 is speaking of, it's a river that gives life. It's a river that revives life. It's a river that empowers us. And who wouldn't want to jump in that river, right? Now, as we get ready to pray, I think to myself, what was dead will come alive and it will flourish with life, all because of the empowering river that flows from God and from God alone. Man can't give it to you. Denomination can't give it to you. The latest trend, the latest Christian trend can't give it to you. As good as it may be and as anointed as it may be, the latest worship song can't give it to you. The latest fad within the church, or the fastest growing church, or the most long-lasting church, or however you want to word it, that can't give it to you. But God and God alone, as you seek him, can do an incredible work in your life. He can change your life in such a manner where rivers of life that flow from him, and it's twofold. First, it flows in you, and then it flows through you. And what a powerful thing that is. Now, before we pray, I want to back up to those first few verses where they're measuring the water. For every 1,000 cubits, which is about 500 yards, the water kept rising. The more the river flowed, the deeper it got. The deeper and greater the flow, the more life thrived and flourished. I love the fact, the way that I pictured, you couldn't swim across it, swim out. Once you were in it, you just had to flow with its current. You had to go with where it was taking you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You just flow with the Holy Spirit and go where the Holy Spirit's taking you. But I thought about the vision and how it was given to him, and this is how I personally perceived it. Now, it's a powerful vision showing what God's going to do, but I had to step back and think, as it's the picture's being painted, it's our choice on how we're going to position ourselves with that river. Some people, they're standing on the bank. Those are the ones that come to church. They love coming to church, love to be in God's presence, love to be here with God's people, and they're like, oh, so good, so good. I want my church to be healthy. I want people to worship. I want people to be healed. I want people to go to the altar. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine right here. Don't mess with me in my little circle. You know, you're just watching from the banks. And you're like, oh, that's good. That's beautiful. What awesome scenery. Those are probably the ones, too, when it's not going so well, they're also going to tell you what they think when they're standing from the banks, because they can kind of watch and see how they think it ought to run and how it ought to look. I don't know. That's my own personal precision. And you can stand on the banks. I don't know about you. Not everybody likes the water. So let's not just talk about physical water. Let's talk about spiritual. Think about the spiritual thing here. But for me, if I'm standing by some beautiful water and it looks refreshing and I'm quenched and I'm hot, I'm ready to jump in, right? I'm ready to jump in. But where your encounter is basically on where you're going to position yourself. Oh, sometimes we get in there ankle deep. We're like, oh, that's refreshing on my toes. I like that. That feels good. I just want to wade in here a little bit. A lot of people just want to wade when it comes to their spirituality. They just want to wade a little bit. Oh, that felt good. Just enough to refresh them. Then you get a little bit bold. Then we're like, oh, man, I'm going all in for revival. I'm going to bring it up to my knees. That's how I'm picturing this. That's how I know. Maybe this is not the right commentary this morning, but you kind of get into their knees. It's flowing. Now, the river's just flowing. The picture is it just gets greater and greater and greater. Then, of course, waist deep. You dive right in. Not a river, but I thought about the first time I got into the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean, how many of you know it is cold, right? I'm from Oklahoma. I didn't know that, you know. I probably had heard about it in class, maybe, maybe not. But I just remember going, loved the beach, you know, loved the whole atmosphere. My wife and I and kids are all there. And I remember, oh, this is going to be good because it's hot. It's not Oklahoma hot, because Oklahoma hot, you're already wet because of the humidity. You know, you're just sweating from head to toe. So it's a different kind of hot. Sun's beaming down. You know, man, I got to get in. I mean, the big ocean right there. Number one, I spent a lot of money on gas to get here. I've traveled through some crazy traffic and crazy people, and I am going to get in the ocean. Shark or not, I'm in. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm getting in. I'm going to do this. And I go with much confidence. As soon as I step in there, I was like, whoa, this is crazy, you know. I'm like, it's June, we're in California, you know, all the songs, the Beach Boys, everybody playing in the water. This is cold, you know, this is not refreshing at all. And that's before I was an old man. Now I'm an old man and I'm getting cold all the time. I feel like my grandpa. My kids are like, what's wrong with you? So anyway, I mean, I'm just, you know, and so what did I do? Slowly made my way in. And really, that's not the best way. But how many of you are the person that just slowly goes in? I get to my knees, you get to your waist, and you're like, okay, by the time you get here, you're like, you know what? I'm in. I'm going in. I'm just going to dive in the next wave that comes. And that's exactly what I did. Of course, after a moment, it was awesome. I don't know if it was refreshing or if I was just numb all over, but I was having a great time. I was having a great time. When I go back to the river. You can read of the river in Eden, how it gave life to the garden. You can go to Revelation and how the river flows from the throne room of God and there's healing for the nations. The river that flows from the very presence of God. It is incredible in every way. And at first, you may not know what to do. You may want to stand on the banks. You may just want to watch it flow. But can I tell you the invitation is, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And for those of you that won't want to dive in because you don't like to swim, you don't know how to swim, you don't even have to swim. Just come to Jesus because the river will flow in you and flow through you. Amen. He wants to do such an awesome work in your lives. Every part of that river does something to your life. Your spiritual life, your emotional life, your health of your body. There's nothing else like it. My invitation to you is accept the invitation that Jesus has given you. Come to him and experience that river flowing in and through your life.